I've spent all day trying to spell Albuquerque, and I got it every time, so, but I can say it, Albuquerque. How are you all? You sound great. We are playing here. We've been here quite a few times, I think. So first of all, I think I'd like to welcome you all here, but I have to thank Jason Bonham for his fantastic band. What a great band, great musicians, right? Unbelievable. So, I love you too, madam. and I thought we had this agreement that you would wait for me in the trunk. I know, I'm gonna be a little late, sorry. This right here is the Peter Frampton Band. And I'm very lucky to have this band, amazing players. And along the road, this is kind of, we're gonna sort of go through the history tonight of me and when I started and all that stuff. So there's a song that is one of my favorites that I've ever come up with, and that's what we're gonna do now. But I have to explain very briefly the story that Frampton's Camel was the album, and we came over from England and arrived without a drummer because, unfortunately, as drummers do, he exploded the week before. So, what are you gonna do? Anyway, so I said to the engineer, producer, I said, do you have any good drummers in New York? So that's where we recorded at Electric Lady, Jimi Hendrix's studio. And then, which was is a fantastic place, it's still going great. And he gave me a list. I called three of them. I called, the first one I called didn't answer, the second one I called didn't answer, the third one answered, and it was the drummer that we have on the live record, which is John Syomas. And many other albums he played on, obviously, starting with Frampton's Camel. And when the session was finished, we knew we wanted to ask him to join, so luckily he did. And but I said, buddy, you got, that's some ramshackle drum kit you got there. That's not gonna work for me, you know. Looks good, you sound good, but, I mean, it doesn't look good, but sounds good. So I said, he said, well, I've always wanted a big green Ludwig kit like John Bonham. Jason Bonham. How topical. So I said, well, that's a good idea. Let me call my buddy at Ludwig. And so I got one for me in white, and I got one for John, the big kit, in green. So then as time went by, John left the band, and then years went by after that. And then a tech of mine came to me and said, you know, I think I've found John's drums on eBay. I said, you're kidding me. There it was, eBay. So I've already bought this kit once. I guess I had to buy it for the second time. The trouble was, it was a lot more expensive the second time. Why is that? So anyway, the end of the story, the kicker is, the green drum kit is sitting right over there. And this is the guitar I lost for 30 years too. So if you've heard of my live album, please pick it up, and this is the one on the front cover. So. Yes! I don't know when to... Thank you, sir. Your passion is contagious. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Your passion, oh! Thank you so much. Now contain yourself. Thank you very much. Anyway, press conference over, and moving right along. And another gentleman that we want to celebrate, both John and this gentleman who played keyboards with me for many years, both passed away, and I'll do the singing. And he was like my musical brother for many years, and band leader, Bob Mayo on keyboards, Bob Mayo. So we're going to, I've got some great pictures that I found from my archives that we're gonna put up there to celebrate two lost band members that we just cherish everything they did while they were here, and wonderful people too. So Here we go. Thank you. eyes in her eyes. Rows of tears would never be a surprise. Well, you can't erase a dream. You could only wake me up. Yeah. My mind is turning slower. Never do I suck it free. Oh, So, this is like a party tonight, isn't it? It's a fantastic. And it reminds me of when I was just doing my very first solo record, Wind of Change. I just left a band called Humble Pie, and, which was fantastic. And when we put Humble Pie together, very nice American label, we were in London, obviously, and A&M Records came over and signed us. And they gave us a 4-year contract, and they gave us a very nice advance. This was enough to split between the four of us, and so each one of us put a little down payment on an okay house. Nothing fancy, you know, not a McMansion or anything like that. And so anyway, the finally, once I got my place and moved in, I realized that my place became the party house. So very similar to this, you know. And but the trouble was, it started Wednesday night. You know, it's a little early for the weekend, isn't it? It's hump day, isn't it? And let me tell you, there was a lot of that going on, I tell you. So, come on, tell me, what is Wednesday? Come on! You know what it is, you know. So, So I've got all these big dead bodies, like by Monday morning, it's like, just to get the coffee, you know. And so the final straw was 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock, so I'd just gone to bed one night over the weekend, and the doorbell goes, and I go down, there's a guy there standing, I've never met, and he's standing there with two suitcases, and he says, "Hello, Pete. My friend said you're a really nice guy and I could come and stay for like 3 weeks. Is that okay?" I said, "Not really, no. No, that's not good." And I said, "Oh, who's this?" And he said, "Oh, that's my girlfriend. Can she come in?" "All right, okay. Come on in." You know, so another couple. So I suddenly saw the funny side of this, and started writing all these occurrences down. And so that's when I wrote this song for the Wind of Change album. It's called The Lodger. That too. Anyway, it was a bit too rough. So after we did 71 shows last year, many of them were with Steve Miller Band, who we love. And, so I got to play a lot of blues. Steve would invite me up to play some blues every night in his act, and which was very generous of him. And I look forward to it every night because I was getting my blues juice going, you know. It was, I love the blues, always have. And so when we got on the bus the last trip home, I was saying to the guys, you know what we should do? When we get home, we should take like a week, 10 days off, go in my studio in Nashville and cut a blues record. So we did. And we cut many more tracks than for one album, so there's a lot more in the can. But this album's called All Blues, and it's been number one on the blues charts for 12 weeks now. Thank you. And we're very appreciative. it's wonderful. You know, I don't remember the last time we were on the charts. My doctor's chart. That's what I was on last, I think. Anyway, we're going to do you a couple of them now. And this first one is it's a fantastic song, obviously. Well, I didn't write it. It's a standard, and it was written by my mum's favorite composer, Camoza. Camoza? That's something you wear, isn't it? A Camoza. A composer, Hoagy Carmichael. And he wrote it, and then one of the definitive versions, well, you can't be one of the, it's a good one, was Ray Charles sang this one. And let's see, when I lived in England, when I was about 16, I went to see the Spencer Davis Group with Steve Winwood in it. And I couldn't believe I left with my jaw on the floor after he sang the song. So I'm not going to compete with any of those people. And we're going to play it for you right now, okay? Thank you. gets my feet up, then I feel strange. I'm looking for real. Then I put some hot sauce on. I play the time on you. I love you, baby. Oh, Thank you very much. It's a nice banana, yes. So in the mid-2000s, that would be 2005, I guess, I decided to do an instrumental record and went all over the world, well, halfway around the world, finding friends of mine that are heroes, players, and heroes of mine that I didn't know that, but became friends. So my first port of call was up in Seattle with the Pearl Jam friends of mine. And I got to play with them the year before that. And so I asked them if they would join me. So Matt Cameron and Mike McCready, drummer and guitar player, made it. And so I went to Grunge Land and to Seattle. And we cut two tracks. I'll start it again. The one we're going to do is one of the two. And then I called up Warren Haynes, my dear friend, great guitar player, dear friend, the hardest working man in music. He's in 19 bands, and they all tour. There's always one, for me anyway, but I think for most artists, or for most people, there's someone in your life very early on that really makes an effect on your life, whether it be to inspire you to do something or whatever, but for me, it was a guitar player in a band called The Shadows in England, and I was 8 years old. They came out, that's 1958, folks. You weren't even in a twinkle. Thank you. We've been through this, thank you. I love you, man. But I'm talking. Okay, so, So I got to go to London, meet with the Shadows and Hank Marvin, and I spent a whole day, I joined the Shadows for the day, which to me, this is meeting my heroes, the ones that made me want to start playing. And it was the most incredible feeling. But anyway, the last, but should have been my first call actually, because I've known one of the Rolling Stones is one of my best friends. He left now, Bill Wyman, the original bass player of the Rolling Stones. I've known him since I was 14, and he's kind of been an older brother for me. So I thought, well, I'm doing this instrumental record. Let's get Bill to play bass on a track, and we'll write something maybe. So I called Bill up. And I said, Bill, how you doing, man? All right. So I said, I'm doing this instrumental album, and I wondered if you would like to play on a track. Yeah, okay. So he sounded really excited, I thought. I'll come to England because I don't fly anymore. No, I don't. So that's why he left the Stones. He hated flying. So I said, okay. Now you haven't played with Charlie Watts and him have been best friends for 60 years, and I've known the Stones for a long time. So Charlie's a dear friend too. So I said, I don't have Charlie's number right now. Can you call him and see what he thinks? Would he join us on and play with us? And he said, I'll call him then. All right. So I said, thanks, Bill. I thought that was a really meaningful conversation we had. But nothing happened for a couple of days, and then the phone rings, and I look down, Charlie Watts' number comes up, and so I pick the phone up, and I didn't have a chance to say, he just said, I'll do it. So that's it. I reunited the original rhythm section of the Rolling Stones, and it's it, which was great. So, a lot of fun. The song we're going to do now that the Pearl Jam lads helped me out with is a Soundgarden song written by Chris Cornell. I heard it on the radio in the mid-90s and thought it was the best song I'd ever heard, and still do. It's one of my top favorites. So I thought maybe I'll go to Seattle and we'll cut it there, which we did, which was great. I finished all these tracks, put the album out, nothing tremendous really happened to it at that point. So I thought, well, we needed more promotion here, I think. Who's got fingerprints here? Liars. Anyway, I get these envelopes in the mail, and I open them up. It's 2 Grammy nominations for my instrumental album. So I thought, well, I am Grammy-less, so let me go and see if I'm still Grammy-less when I leave. So I went to the Grammys, I sat down. No sooner as I sat down, and they read my name out for Best Instrumental Album of the Year. So that was fantastic. I thought nothing could beat that until I got home, and then I got a call from Chris Cornell. And he said, I love what you're doing with our song. Would you come and play it with us live? I said, oh, let me think about that. Yes! So that was one of the best moments of my life, playing this song with Chris Cornell, I can't tell you. So anyway, we like to always dedicate this. Obviously, it's so sad that Chris has gone too soon, but so I like to dedicate this to Chris Cornell, his wife Vicky, and their 2 children. Thank you. Guys in suits that look awful rich. That's Adam Lester on guitar. Adam, what fun. To early 70s, I had to write a whole album in 3 weeks, and that's impossible. So let's start there. And so anyway, I decided if I have to do speed writing, it's because we were touring nonstop, and then you had a few weeks to write, then you go in the studio, then back out on the road, and all that stuff. So went on like crazy. So anyway, I decided that this this was going to be my place that I would go to. I would go to Nassau in the Bahamas. And I borrowed Steve Marriott's cottage. He had one on the beach there from Omobai. And so when I got to the airport, I saw the other side of the carousel, I saw Alvin Lee from 10 Years After. And I thought, dear friend of mine, fantastic player he was. And so I dropped my bags, went over, we hugged, and as soon as the hug broke, for the next 2 weeks, we don't remember a damn thing. If anybody was there and saw us, did we have a good time? Anyway, so after 2 weeks, Alvin and his lovely wife went back to England, and I had 8 days left. And so I picked up my acoustic, I said, I better get going here. So within about, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, I came up with the basic, the chords and the melody and everything, and maybe some, like the chorus of lyrics of Show Me the Way, which we have played this evening. And then, so I thought, well, enough work today then. No, I didn't. I thought, well, that's one okay one on, I had no idea, I just thought this one's okay. So I put that on the good pile of one so far, and then went out, had a swim, oceans right there, palm tree, you know, it was just, oh, great, incredible inspiration there. So anyway, I had a swim, I had some lunch, around the other way actually, I had the swim, then I had lunch, that's right. And then I decided that I would give it another go, and so I picked up my acoustic, took it outside this time, sat underneath the palm tree, and within, I don't know, it was 4 o'clock-ish, and I'd come up with a nice chord sequence and a pretty good melody, I thought. And then around about 5 o'clock, the sun started to move down into the water there, and so I decided let's try and write the lyrics right here and now. So I did. This one I wrote the same day as Show Me the Way, and it goes like this.
Suddenly, it turns into night.
sunset in your eyes, brown and red, yeah, from the side. Are you ready? Yeah. Hold on. Couldn't quite catch that. Are you ready? Yeah. Got it. Arthur on the keyboard. Rob! On the bass guitar, Mr. Steve Matty. On the drums, Dan Bojahovsky. Last but never least, my wingman on guitar, Adam Luster.
Like we do. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. How about some humble pie?
Thank you.
don't know. Someone control me. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's still turning. Guitar and the wind. Let's please hear it for my band one more time. They're the best.